I remember years ago at the holiday light display in our city, my six-year-old sounding out the words, "The Christmas Story," and asking me to tell him the story behind the cozy image of the baby in the manger, which I was surprised to realize that he didn't know. He appeared to have only vague ideas about guys in bathrobes giving gold to babies, which would have been a terrible idea, by the way, because everybody knows that babies put everything into their mouths, which is maybe why they called the men who did this wise guys. So when the boys asked about the Christmas story, I was tongue-tied for a moment. I knew there were good odds that I was not up to this awesome responsibility of accurately relaying the story of the birth of Jesus. I was thinking about the time they saw the Noah's Ark theme display and they asked me to tell the story. And what a complete disaster I made out of it. Partway through, they wanted me to elaborate on the God character, who I had given the impression to the boys was like a big talking rain cloud. Then I realized I never really explained God to them. They were so small. I really wanted to do it justice, so I just launched into what different people around the world believe and theology, and, well, you know, their eyes glazed over because, boy, does Mom know how to boring up a story about a good guy with a floating zoo doing battle with an evil talking rain cloud. So, before launching into the Christmas story, I paused for a minute. I realized that I was probably not going to accurately relay the story of the birth of Jesus. But I also realized that there is pretty good evidence that nobody before me did either. So I decided to do what people have done with Bible stories, with any stories, for centuries. Tell the story not as it originally may or may not have happened, but as a myth, a story that relates to the people listening in the moment. I decided not to tell the boys the Christmas story, but to tell our Christmas story. And our Christmas story goes like this.
So a long, long, long time ago, there lived a woman named Mary. Well, I say woman, she was very, very young, hardly more than a girl. And Mary had a baby growing inside of her, which was a problem in some ways. See, you have to do a special kind of cuddle to get a baby inside of you, and Mary was supposed to wait to do that until she was married. Well, now, maybe she didn't wait, or maybe the baby got in there some other way. But either way, Mary was in trouble, and that trouble had a capital T on it. She was scared because everybody would be angry with her. Well, and she was scared because she would have to push that baby out, which really hurts. And she was scared because once it was out, she would have to take care of it. And that isn't very easy either. And to make matters worse, someone was after Mary's baby. Someone wanted to kill it, so she was really scared. And also, it was tax time, which makes everybody grumpy. Although, actually, it was different back then because, nobody had invented paperwork yet. So you had to go on long, long trips instead of running around the house opening drawers and shouting about receipts. Anyway, they had traveled really far on a donkey, which is understandably uncomfortable. And Mary was exhausted when she started to feel a great pain in her tummy. The baby was coming. Now, at home, there would have been people to help her, people who knew her and loved her and had actually pushed out babies themselves, people who would be on top of the situation. But yeah, there was nobody like that in this strange place. Nobody even wanted to give them a place to have the baby, even though Mary's husband, Joseph, went from hotel to hotel saying, hello, a baby is about to shoot out of my wife. Hello, can we do that in one of your rooms, please? Please. So anyway, Mary had to have the baby herself with only the help of Joseph, who was a very nice man, but, you know, honestly not even bright enough to be trusted to say, hey, can I book a room? Without actually adding, because my wife is going to scream and bleed all over, help. And so she had to do it in a barn, which was smelly and dark and filled with animals and pokey straw and poop. And she was crying and wailing and scared. And Joseph was crying and wailing and scared. And then Mary had a realization with a capital R. She realized that everything had gone wrong and this was not supposed to happen. And she decided right then that this baby was going to have to turn right around and grow up in her stomach forever, because she was not strong enough to do this. And she was not strong enough to push it out. Except it turned out that Mary was strong enough. And what her brain didn't know how to do, and when her brain didn't know what came next, her body showed her what to do. And yeah, there was noise, and there was screaming, and there was wailing, and there was a mess, and there was crying, and then, well, there was a beautiful little baby like you see in pictures.
Well, not exactly like you see in pictures, because newborn babies kind of look like cross-eyed, hairless rats covered in blood and slime with gaping, drooly, industrial vacuum suckers for mouths. But when the parents look at them, they are the most beautiful things in the world. And the pictures you see are the pictures of the baby as seen through Mary's heart. Not as the baby actually looked. The way the baby actually looked and smelled is what later prompted the wise guys to hand over a bunch of jewelry and perfume. Because they were not exactly wise, but they were definitely more objective about appearances. So Mary sat there looking down at her baby, and she was filled with the most amazing love for the little boy. And in that moment, she was no longer a scared young woman huddled in a sea of night with a powerful man trying to hunt her and her family. She was a mother with a mama bear love and a mama bear power. And she was no longer far from home either, because the love and hope that filled her heart made a family home out of wherever she was. The straw felt softer, and the animals were quiet and calm. She and Joseph cuddled the baby, and they realized that love makes a family wherever you are. We say it all the time, love makes a family, and we make it sound simple, except it isn't. Love making a family is often very, very hard. It involves crying and darkness and sometimes yelling and mess. It involves things not being right, not at all. It doesn't usually fit the first time, and it's often harder than we pictured. It involves knowing that we're not strong enough, but we're pushing through anyway, and involves these moments of peace.
These moments when love makes everything golden and soft and wonderful, and we realize that we are so much stronger than we thought, where we realize that families are not about love making things unmessy so that they can be wonderful. It's about love making it so that things can be messy and wonderful at the same time. We tell that story at this time of the year when the days are short and it's easy to be filled with gloom as we wait for the sun to return. And we tell it now because it's a good time to remind ourselves that each of us carries the light inside of us, and that nothing that is going on around you can keep you from letting that light shine, even when it's hard and messy and sometimes very loud. We keep right on going. And it's nothing like you see in the pictures. It's nothing like you see on Facebook. It's nothing like you see on the holiday letters your friends send you every year, the ones that tell you how perfect everything is in their life. But it's wonderful anyway. That's the story Liz wrote and tells her little boys. And I think that our 13 to 15-year-old Mary would have liked it quite a bit, because it gets that love is messy. It gets that love is hard, and sometimes it puts us at a great risk. A star showed up in the sky in Bethlehem, and it told people that love in human form had been born, that love had come for the world to know, that love had come to bring hope, to lift up the frightened and the fallen and the just plain forgotten, to comfort the hurt and the imprisoned and the sick. Love had come to show us how to be one big human family, and 2,000 plus years later, we're still trying to figure it out. So what do? We do what Mary did. We accept that it is messy. We accept that it calls for us to do some pretty frightening things to stand up for one another. We figure out that most of the books and the stories and all of the Hallmark movies, well, they just get it wrong. They don't show the really scary parts and the loud parts. They don't show the parts where we decide to just turn around and go the other way because we know there is no way to cope with this. But we do cope, and we go on, and we keep trying. And we accept that we carry the light of that star, the light of love inside of us. And that if darkness is going to be overcome, it is our job to do it.
It is our job to carry the light into the world.